Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Danion Brinkley, our veteran, and your phone calls. Danion, I've got a slew of emails from people who loved the theme songs that we played from the services, but a couple of them said that we forgot the Space Force theme. I didn't even know they had one yet. Did you?
No.
No, we have to check into that. I'm going to have to check into that, and it's got to be an official theme song, of course.
Absolutely, because just defining what the Space Force is should be a program within itself.
Absolutely. That's a good point, indeed. Indeed.
Okay, I want to pass one more piece of information, George.
Sure.
For everybody that's a caregiver or thinks that you're a caregiver, taking care of your veteran husband or your veteran wife, remember these terms, general caregiver support. And here's how to do it. You want to call your congressperson, and you want to talk to their head of military affairs. You want to tell them that you don't support dishonorable discharges for veterans who refuse to take the shot. And you want to know about general caregiver support. So you put the pressure on the representative to make the connection for you to the VA to see if you qualify for between $500 and $2,500 a month for taking care of your spouse or getting someone to help you take care of them. And we, as the government, pay for it. Okay, and there's one other thing, George. Everybody remember this term in caregiving, legacy. There is a legacy program that in it you could get back pay. You could get paid for what you've already done. And then it automatically puts you into a program where you as the caregiver gets greater control and an income for doing what you would normally be doing anyway. But finally, we got them to the place to understand that. So
that's fantastic.
Well, see, George, the things that's been remarkable, I mean, it's been remarkable because they see the VA or what the VA structure is, they see it as a bigger possibility for structuring a different health care program, you know, to fulfill the vision. But watching it, the trouble the VA has is it has too much bureaucracy, too much redundancy, just like everything. But I like Dennis, this new secretary. And George, I've probably known 9 of them, of the secretaries. I've known every one of them up to getting to this guy, but I've known every one of them. And so I like him. He's a bureaucrat, and he's a management expert, and he's not, the way he's coming across, he's not just talking. He really wants to be effective and efficient. And so I'm happy in general, but the system is outdated from a standpoint of being able to manage itself effective, efficiently, and economically without somebody like this.
I'll keep doing what you're doing. Let's go to the phones now. Mark in Baltimore, Maryland, you're on with Danion Brinkley. Hi, Mark.
George, thank you very much for taking my telephone call.
Sure thing, sir.
Real quick, Mr. Brinkley, I have to say thank you. You're doing some terrific work there. During this COVID, my short story as a veteran, I've been calling the show for many, 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 many years. And so Mr. Norrie knows I'm a veteran. And during this COVID thing, before COVID, I am an appointed service officer for the American Legion and Department of Veterans Affairs. And it's all volunteer work. I don't make or take a single penny for what I do. And my short story is, before the COVID, I did not have a platform that's heard on this very station that some of my listeners are listening to this program right now here in Baltimore. And something that was asked of me that I just decided to do was have a radio broadcast about veterans benefits. As a district service officer, I helped to cut through the red tape because I love the veterans outside of my family. There's nothing I love more.
Do you have a website?
I actually have emails that I get veterans.
Watch,
two email sites.
Watch. What you do is you put up a site. You give people a destination place. Quit messing around.
Yeah.
If you're going to give me...
That's true. The American Legion Post that I'm attached to has its site. And all my last 10 years of writing a column for our newsletter about VA benefits...
So you've been putting that up
them.
On the site. And can you drive traffic to them? Because
I feel like I'm a traffic director.
Well, but here's
yes, directing with everything you talked about, claims and things like that, that a appointed service officer does.
Mark, I do the same thing all the time. But what we're generating here today is teamwork, because this is how it's going to work. The networks and the outreach programs in the VA that the VA put out there, and they support them, used to be vet to vet, but that was creating too many jobs. So all the vet outreach programs, these are the ones that's making the difference. This is where you can go get treated. You don't have to go to the hospital. These are the best things about what is happening at the VA. So by being able to help people deal with those claims and have a way to go to a website, because what I was giving people was a way to get themselves into the caregiving funding, which I think it's fair to her or him who's taking care of one of us. But if you have a way to correlate that information, we drive traffic to that information. Because if they can drive traffic and they're going to call on their own congressperson, and they're going to call them and they're going to do exactly the way we just said it, then we get them, we stand up for something that's right. You should give Don, you should be honorably discharged if you refuse it. If you're willing to give up your career, then you should be honorably discharged. And then ask about where they are in the program. And thank you for doing what you're doing.
And if you have a website you want to give out, Mark, go ahead right now.
Oh, well, yes. Thank you so much.
Sure. Go ahead.
It's a post 116 that you put the three W's in front of it and the dot. You go to post116.org, which goes to my American Legion post that I'm attached to as a local service officer, my post. And my columns that I've been writing in the newsletter for the last 10 years is called Veteran Victor and Veteran Victoria, Benefiting America's Veterans.
All right, great. Post116.org. Super. Okay, good advice, Daniel.
No, and the people, if they do this, they get in and they bypass about three layers of bureaucracy.
Next up, we go to Carolyn, west of the Rockies in Big Oak Flat, California. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to tell you about my father. He was in the Navy for 20 years.
Wow.
And he was W-4 when he retired. And he changed the bearing under enemy gunfire off the coast of Korea on the Iowa. And I just wanted to pass that on, because I'm so proud of him. And he retired from the Navy in 54, and he passed in 63, but I'm still proud of him. I've got his picture.
Absolutely.
And his flag and everything pertaining to him when he was in the Navy. So I'm a Navy junior.
All right. Thanks for that story.
Okay, so
appreciate it.
Can I ask you a question?
I think she's gone now, Danny.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. What was the question? What would it have been?
Well, I just wanted to ask her that there was something that she needed to finish as a sentence. You know, I can hear it. It's something that she needed to finish as a sentence. I mean, and it's about that she's not. I don't know exactly because I didn't hear it, but it's about her not being alone and that he is aware of that pride.
My father gave me a box. He was in World War II. He gave me a box that he sealed up, and he said, George, I just want you to have this. You know, take it wherever you go and open it up when I pass. And he died about 10 years ago, Daniel. And I opened up the box, and it was his World War II helmet that I still have.
That's so wonderful because so many times that one pot was his food. I know the helmet because that's what we had. You know, that's what we had.
Those things were heavy, too. They were heavy.
Yeah, how many times you took a bath, how many times you ate, how many times you pull that pot off to cook, get hot, get warm. No wonder, you know. I mean, everybody has those little treasures from that. I mean, you know, and that's what builds this unity and union.
Absolutely.
The fact, George, that they would take a guy, and because he refuses, because it's not enough information, and he doesn't trust what they're saying, because all of us who were ever in the military took a bunch of vaccines. I took
I took a whole slew of them.
And I mean, they loaded, you know, a Corman on each arm.
I took a cholera vaccine that had my arm blow up like a basketball.
Whoa.
I mean, it was huge. I couldn't move my arm for about 3 days.
See, and now we're worried about something that when you take the paperwork open, because I have to stay alive, George, to finish what I believe is my task. I try to innovate into the healthcare system of the VA in just case I ever need them.
Sure.
Okay, so when I look at all of this, when I look at all this and try to figure out exactly how to innovate healthcare, because I'm like taking care of myself at the same time, we all have to take a good look at our own healthcare. We have to really take a close look at where our healthcare is going, because while all this other inflation and all this other stuff is going on, there is innovations happening in our healthcare system that we don't see, but we need to pay attention to. Why I need caregivers to get into the right position, George, so that they're aware, because this is stuff is going to get a little weirder before it gets back under control, and it's going to get a little weirder. And being able to follow being the caregiver and being able to get that post office money coming, so that you can better take care of that person, knowing what's coming, is a smart thing to do.
Ah, Carolyn got through again, and she's ready for your question. Hi, Carolyn. You're on with Danyan. Danyan, she's here.
Hi, George. I forgot to tell you, he also got a citation from Admiral Nimitz for changing that bearing under enemy gunfire.
Wow. And Danyan, you said you had a question for him.
So my question, how old were you when he came home?
How old was I? I was probably 15.
And you were daddy's girl?
Yes, I was.
Well, I can guarantee you this, Carolyn. I can promise you that he is aware of tonight that sense of pride, and he is aware of that.
Oh, I do have a sense of pride for all my life I have.
Thanks, Carolyn. I'm glad he got
through. I just need to tell you that he is quite aware of that sense of pride.
You would know it being on the other side three times already, huh?
Right.
My gosh.
That stuff is important, George.
It sure is.
This is our night, and if we can help in any kind of capacity to bring resolution, that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, not to thank you. I mean, I don't mean to be being Danyan, but, you know.
It was an act of God for her to get through the second time. That never happens.
Yeah, see, that's great.
Next up, we've got happen. Joe in Olympia, Washington. Welcome to the show. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you, Joe.
I am an Iraq war vet.
Thank you. Thank you for serving.
Thank you, sir. I met you at the Everett Theater and gave you a signed manuscript of my book.
Yes.
And I just wanted to read a poem from it, sir.
Go ahead.
It'd be an honor to send you a signed copy because your show actually helped me get through Iraq. it's called Stuck in These Boots. I just can't put those men away in boxes. Sand whips by us and it feels like a cold night. It must be 65 degrees. We stand erect at perfect attention. Our shadows are carried in boxes. They are men who we might not have liked in life. We don't even know their names at present. But there we stand, our bodies aching from holding the same hand salute. The flag-draped coffins are red, white, and blue, and the chaplain offers a prayer. How in the heck did I get here? I feel stuck in my boots, and I want out. That should be me in that box, and I know it. I can never live it down. I can't move, so I'll just stand here saluting on this tarmac in the middle of the night for the rest of my life.
Joe, that's a great moving poem. Thank you. I'm putting you on hold, by the way.
Can I ask him a question, George?
Okay.
Joe, how many of these poems have you written?
I have a 200-page book. I've written probably 50 poems, sir.
Okay, and, so I would like to see this. I would like to see this book.
I'm going to have him mail. I'm going to have him mail a copy to the network, and Tom will get it to you, Daniel. Okay,
okay? Easy. Thank you.
All right, so take it away, Jeremiah. Grab his address and give him our address, and he'll mail a book to Tom, and Tom can get it to Daniel. And just great vets, my gosh.
God bless you, Joe.
That's something else. Daniel, a couple minutes before the break, so I want to chat with you for a little bit more, and then we'll take some final phone calls. What else can the Coast audience do for you and for the Twilight Brigade and for the many vets out there?
But, you, Joe, just like the show, just like the show, and there are things like, there are things just like tonight that I can, I find these things, and it's being able to get to people and to tell them, because I see them. I listen to all these programs. I'm a member of all those organizations, George, so I get a chance to see the overview and help people get into position. So I couldn't ask anybody more than to just act upon what I'm telling them and helping them see to do, okay? Because the whole health program is the way in, and it's good for people. It's helping people, okay? And now I've gotten the VA in a position where they're doing home health care. In case of another pandemic, how do you position home health care? And I've maneuvered it to that place so that they can have palliative and home health care as opposed to going into the CLCs, because then there is a greater opportunity for that person to get better or to have the quality of life that they could have as opposed to being in a nursing home.
What are you hearing in the percent of troops that do not want the mandated vaccines?
None of them wanted the vaccine, the COVID, but most follow orders, but there's probably 40%.
That's pretty high.
But here's where the issue comes. The issue comes is when you tell them they have to do it, when normally you see the vaccines you're going to take, you know, people aren't like you and I. We just stood up and took it, whatever it was.
Whatever it was.
Malaria, whatever it was going to give if you were Westpac, whatever it was. And you just took it. I mean, I can remember they made us lay down and drink a Pepsi, you know, and some guys had boils and stuff like that. But, you know, who cares? And then depends on where you went, what other vaccines you got.
And thank God my mother was astute enough to have my shot record when I was a kid, because I brought that in so I didn't have to get duplicated for everything.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, they in the Marine Corps, they didn't even ask you.
they just jibbed.
They didn't care what you brought.
Daniel, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and take more phone calls with you. Final calls in just a moment with Daniel Brinkley as our Veterans Day salute. We shall be back. Are we living in a simulated world? Think about that. In a moment, Pastor Jeff Grubb joins us next hour as we talk about that on Coast to Coast. We'll be back in a moment with Daniel Brinkley and take your final calls as our tribute on Veterans Day to all of you, past and present veterans. So that'll be in just a second. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie are back with our final segment with Daniel Brinkley as we talk about veterans and our annual salute to veterans, of course. Daniel, I know you. I've known you. You're a tough Marine. But have you ever gone to a VA hospital and then on the way out just sobbed?
Quite often, George.
Yeah, that has. It's emotional, isn't it?
Well, people are, I mean, I'm for keeping them home because I know that's an underlying effect. And I saw what happened with COVID and what happened to so many nursing homes and we have CLCs. I saw all that was happening, and I'm for keeping them home. But I've been at it for so long, George. I've had moments where it's just overwhelming, the kind of burden that people have placed upon themselves as a human being, as opposed to looking at their spiritual identity. And war does it to you. War is insanity. And, you know, now at a certain age, you realize that. But when you look at what I was going to tell you. I had a person that was screaming, 93 years old, screaming at the top of their lungs, reliving. They were on the death march. This was like a month ago.
Oh, God.
They were on the Bataan death march. His children's in their 60s. They don't know what to do. He never talked about it. He never, ever talked about it. And then all of a sudden, he started seeing the people being stabbed. And he was back on the Bataan death march and screaming and letting it all out. And so somebody found me at the nursing home. They had brought him home. Somebody found me, called me, and I went over there. And I went in there, and I was trying to size it up. So I took one of the names of the people he was talking about, Harold. I'm not going to tell you his name, but I'll say Bert. And I was saying, well, who's next? Who's next? And I became the person making the walk with him. Who's getting stabbed? We have to get home for the children. We've got to get home to have children and build America back. And this is, you know, I kept driving him toward his children and getting him back. And it may be in 40 minutes, George, he slowed down to a calm place and he looked up at me and he said, Harold, you're dead.
Wow.
And he snapped out of it. All of a sudden, he realized that the person he was talking to, me, who had come through the death march with him, had died, or he knew that he had died, and that made it all okay. And I went inside and sat down in the living room, and I was pretty emotionally spent with listening to what I was listening to. But he had the next 2 hours with his kids, you know, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. So when I think about that kind of stuff and watch what people go through in war, and I see all these programs where they're begging people to help people. They're coming to America to help people. $11 here, $19 there, $20 here. And we're wasting so much money in so many places over some of the stupidest stuff in the world that we have to turn to America to support what we're paying and what they went to do. This is the issue that we all see, George. All of us see it. And a country's greatness is measured by how it takes care of the helpless and its veterans.
That's right.
You know, and so us doing this show, George, and us making them first, especially about the caregiver, and that they have rights, and that Elizabeth Dole has a program out there. But if they listen to the legacy, they listen to the caregiver program, and they have a reason to call their congressperson, they're in, and they skip three layers of bureaucracy. I know. And so I just appreciate getting this opportunity, George, and I'm so thankful to everybody.
You're welcome. We're going to take final calls, and then in the last minute or so, I'm going to give you a little moment to do a summary for us. So let's go to first-time caller Thomas in Chico, California. Thomas, go ahead, sir.
I went to the graveyard today. My twin brother, fraternal twin, died when he was 29. He was stationed on Johnson Island in the Bikini Atolls.
Yeah.
And there was a Thor missile that was launched there June 20th as part of Operation Dominic. And it detonated a warhead, atomic warhead, on the island. He was stationed there 2 years. No one's allowed to go on the island now without Air Force permission. And Operation Dominic launched 36 warheads into outer space of 250 miles. And we were lighting up the Van Allen radiation belt. It could be seen from Hawaii, 900 miles away. And
why were we doing this?
We were
what was
doing
the
this
reason for us exploding nuclear in the Van Allen belt?
Some test, I guess, Thomas, wasn't it?
We were doing it to intimidate Khrushchev during the Cold War with Kennedy and Khrushchev. Khrushchev actually asked Kennedy to stop the test. And there were 36 detonations. My brother got radiation poisoning, and he died when he was 29.
Oh, geez. And this was right during the Cuban Missile Crisis, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1962. June 20th, 1962, this rocket exploded on JI. They had it detonated. It malfunctioned at 35,000 feet, and we launched, really, Google it, Dominic, Operation Dominic.
Okay.
Do you feel the presence of your twin when you go there?
Absolutely. And tonight, what's so weird is there's no American flags available at the dollar stores or anywhere. There were no flags out today at the cemeteries here in Chico in California. And it was the first time I've ever seen that. So I was really disappointed. But I don't know why. I guess they're on ships out in L.A. or something. But
what kind of experience do you have when you go to his grave like today?
I can feel his presence, and he was really sick towards the end. And back in '85, the early '80s, the Air Force didn't want to admit that these tests went on, and they didn't help him at all.
Polynesia, and we'd have to pay for all the radiation poisoning because of the trade winds, that set of winds that blew in the Pacific.
I wonder how many soldiers died from the radiation poisoning, Daniel, over time, and probably still are. Thank you, Thomas, for that. And
I bless you and bless your brother.
Must have been an emotional visit. Larry in Tacoma, Washington, take it away. Hi, Larry.
Hi, George and sir.
Hi.
I am a Navy vet.
Well, thank you, sir.
Vietnam. And obviously over there picked up some Agent Orange, and I wanted to say for the VA, I used to work with the VA as an employee, now I'm a patient, and it is 100% changed around than when I used to work with them, because now they're taking care of my illnesses that I've gotten from the Agent Orange and trying to do stuff about that. But one of the things I came across, and I was hoping you, sir, would be able to help some with this, with anybody. I don't have a computer to go out and double-check how to specifically take care of bills from some of the places I've been sent for care. So
Is there a
person that you could speak to with the VA that could...
Sure. Everybody has an advocate. Okay, but you have an advocate. But let me ask you something. Are these appointments outpatient appointments from the VA? Are these outpatient appointments that you personally made through your primary caregiver?
It was personal appointments in emergency rooms.
Okay, so that should be, how far do you live from the VA?
The one in Seattle is about 30 miles away. The one in American Lake in Tacoma is about 26.
And Larry, what are you asking for, a computer or a computer help?
They have computers for him. If he's homebound, if you're homebound, you can get a computer. And if they're taking care of you, this is something that I was saying earlier about the VA. But what you're going to have to do when you're making these bills and paying these bills, you're going to have to be responsible for those, except for maybe the emergency room, which the VA should pay for.
And how do you get a computer, Daniel? How does he go about that?
Well, what he does is he calls the VA, and he goes to his advocate. In his name and in his file, everybody has an advocate the VA goes to. He wants to know who that advocate is, and he wants to tell them.
And they're the ones that should go to work for him, right?
And they can find it either used or they can find one. This is what they do.
Okay, good luck on that, Larry. I hope that works out for you. Thank you for that.
Good luck, Larry.
Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George, this has been really emotional and stuff. Daniel, God bless you, son, for all you're doing, you and George. And that Jeremiah, you got a great call screener in him, too. Daniel and George knows this. My dad was a Korean War vet. He passed in December of 2020 of COVID-19. And I stayed with my dad and stuff, and I never did catch the virus. But in May, my sugar went over to 1,000, so I almost died in May. If it hadn't been for George and Tommy, I wouldn't have made it to the hospital and stuff. And I just about gave up on everything.
I said, what triggered the sugar? What caused that spike?
Daniel, my dad had a victory garden and stuff, and we ate good, you know, vegetables and all like that. Well, once he died, I kind of just went to the, because I don't cook, so I went to these burger joints and all like that and drank a lot of sweet tea and lemonade. I didn't drink no coke.
Too much sugar stuff, too much sugar.
So,
yeah.
But what I wanted to say to George, I wish you have this one be a four-hour show or, and thing like Dr. Wallach, but let me say what I wanted to say. George, you were right. We should have nuked them to get Bin Laden, and my dad fought against them, fought against the communist Chinese and stuff, and they didn't put this virus on us. But Daniel, one day I hope maybe you can contact me, Cornelius White. We got a Alexandria VA here. They've let our veterans down and stuff, and we got a doctor that nine veterans have died.
Do you know what vision you're in? What's the name of the city where the VA is?
Alexandria VA Hospital.
In Louisiana.
Alexandria, Louisiana VA Hospital. Where? But nobody seems to care, Daniel, but I can tell you
Louisiana.
Everything, and I know George cares and stuff.
Hold on a second. Tell me where in Louisiana.
Alexandria.
Louisiana.
I got it.
Okay.
I will track you down, George. I will track you down.
All right, Cornelius. Thanks, my friend. Time for another.
Bless you, my brother.
Time for another quick call. Let's go to Carl in Canada. Welcome to the show. Hey, Carl.
Yeah, God bless. Thank God for the United States of America. My world history teacher said if it wasn't for you guys, Germany, Japan would have won the war.
That's true.
It was actually called Berlin. Actually, they changed the name in World War One in 1914 or 1915. We actually had a bust of the Kaiser by our park here. They actually threw it into the lake. And then the Germans from a club here, they took it and brought it into their German club, Concordia Club. But they took it, actually. They went in and got it, and they never found it again. They think it might have got melted down, made into like something for napkins, or it's buried in a barn somewhere underneath. But my dad was actually in the German army. He was up in Norway, Sweden. He was lucky. 1943, he was like 18, and he had to go up there. And he got the Iron Cross, second class. He actually was a stalemate up there. He laid telephone lines, cables at night. There were the Russians up there and the partisans. They were like guerrilla fighters, like local people. And I had a godly godmother, too, prayed a lot. He could have ended up in Russia. Like, most of the Germans didn't come back.
So did
like,
he get home?
Oh, yeah. I got a picture of him. He was in civilian clothes waiting for the ferry to go back. So I don't think he actually surrendered to the... He just went back. I think they didn't bother him.
He was in the right place at the right time. Daniel, we've got a minute left. I'd like you to wrap things up.
Well, I think that it's very important for everybody that's listening. Our veterans matter. Homelessness, and which they're making a stab at it, but not near as powerful. But the system, the mechanization of the system of our health care and the programs, this is what they need to work on. But everybody, there are revolutions and revelations happening in the VA. And they're doing the very best they can, and they're adapting programs that I have watched over 37 years, especially the If You Love Them program, which is about keeping you home as long as you can. I appreciate everybody who comes and the people I've talked to, 9 doctors and 8 VAs, to see how caregivers can support each other. And, George, I appreciate it. And Tommy and Premier, for 25 years, we've been able to try to help. And I'm working on a program you know, the 10 things to know before you go, because we're going to have to all get ready to be prepared for what is inevitable and how to deal with it to be the best for you and that person that's in transition.
Absolutely. Daniel, I look forward to more interviews with you and, of course, next year when we do another Veterans Day tribute. Up next, a great pastor talks with us about, are we living in a simulated world?